This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're glad you joined us. This is the mind training practice of A Course in Miracles that shows you the certainty that you can evolve through a continuing practice, a realization of your own perfection. I'm called an advanced teacher because in a continuing fashion, I realize more and more the certainty that I share the love of God with you. And if you're willing to share it with me, we can begin to practice the idea that there's a whole and complete alternative to what we have done before. And in that certainty, we will discover that we carry this message out to the world. If we look back at lesson 153, we see that it said, if I don't defend myself, if I don't insist on being a human being in this world, I can begin to have an experience of a true association in a variant continuum of time that has always been with me. Okay, in 154, I had to accept the idea of being a minister, to administer to the world in the certainty of the discovery of who I am, a demonstration of the joy that I now share in the realization of my own Christhood, my own responsibility to represent to the world my own certainty, since the world previously was representing my own uncertainty based on my determination to project it from my mind and therefore facilitate the idea that I could not know who I was or where I came from. Okay, so in the expression of the evolved certainty of myself, I now represent the certainty that I can take that to the world. Let's go back and look just for a moment at the finality to lesson 154 that indicates the necessity for your ministry. Listen. You who are now the messengers of God receive His messages. For that is part of your appointed role. God has not failed to offer what you need, nor has it been left unaccepted. Yet another part of your appointed task is yet to be accomplished. he who has received for you the messages of God would have them be received by you as well, for thus do you identify with him and claim your own. It is this joining that we undertake to recognize today. We will not seek to keep our minds apart from him who speaks for us, for it was but our voice we hear as we attend him. He alone can speak to us and for us, joining in one voice the getting and the giving of God's word, the giving and receiving of his will. Let us but learn this lesson for today. We will not recognize what we receive until we give it. You have heard this said 100 ways and 100 times, and yet belief is still lacking. But this is sure. Until belief is given it, you will receive 1,000 miracles and then receive 1,000 more, but will not know that God himself has left no gift beyond what you already have, nor has denied the tiniest of blessings to his son. What can this mean to you until you have identified with him and with his own? Our lesson for today is but this. I am among the ministers of God, and I am grateful that I have the means by which to recognize that I am free. The world recedes as we light up our minds and realize these holy words are true. They are the message sent to us today from our Creator. Now we demonstrate how they have changed our minds about ourselves and what our function is. For as we prove that we accept no will we do not share, our many gifts from our Creator will spring to our sight and leap into our hands, and we will recognize what we receive. So the idea that you have become a minister of this teaching of love has become very important to you. I'd like to take this lesson 155, with you on this video, or perhaps watching it on the television set, and offer to you my certainty that if you continue to practice within your own mind the complete alternative that you are discovering within the factor of yourself, that the joy and peace that you are beginning to experience can be carried around in the world. And the surprise that's going to happen to you, and I want you to accept this from me, is the certainty of the self that you have found was always deep within you. What you've learned in this miracle procedure is what you presented to the world was not true. You already knew this. What you have learned through the practice of this idea of an alternative contained within you, that the you that you identified within yourself and pretended to offer to the world was also not true. The fundamental teaching that I am offering you within your own conceptual self at this time is this certainty. The uncertainty that you have felt about who you are in your own mind has been projected onto the world and shared by other uncertainties within their conceptual self. And they have used the demonstration of the pitiful littleness of their conceptual ideas about themselves to hold themselves in a fostering of pain and death that represent the temporal idea that they are separate from what everything is. The discovery of self-realization that you are having at this moment in your own mind obviously cannot be described perceptually to the world, because the description of your perceptual association with yourself is what the falsity was. But once that begins to happen, that Christhood, this is the fundamental teachings of Jesus, the necessity for you to be born again, the realization that emerging in you at this time and place is a brand new you. Is it different from the conceptual self that you previously identified yourself? it's so different that no recognition of an alternative of what you used to be will be contained within your own mind. Rather, it will be an involvement of a self-certainty that is going to show you at any moment the total unreality of this world. That's the discovery that you will momentarily carry around with you, the realization of the illumination of your own mind. Okay. Remember that this world was over a long time ago. There is no world. It disappeared in the instant of the momentary illusion of the possibility of its reality. So if you've been carrying about in your own mind, you're now realizing in the certainty of self that has evolved in your illumination that in a literal sense there is no world. Let's look for just a moment at this lesson of stepping back for a moment and beginning to enjoy what's actually happening to you right now. Listen. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before. The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way. What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness, but to let illusions sink beneath the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity. This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those to look upon who choose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. They cannot learn directly from the truth because they have denied that it is so. And so they need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond illusions to the simple truth in them. And this is the responsibility that you have accepted. If truth demands that they give up the world, it would appear to them as if it asked the sacrifice of something that is real. Many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality, and they have suffered from a sense of loss and have not been released accordingly. Others have chosen nothing but the world, and they have suffered from a sense of loss still deeper, which they did not understand. Listen, between these paths there is another road that leads away from loss of every kind, for sacrifice and deprivation both are quickly left behind. This is the way appointed for you now. You walk this path as others walk, nor do you seem to be distinct from them, although you are indeed. Thus can you serve them while you serve yourself, and set their footsteps on the way that God has opened up to you and them through you. Illusions still appear to cling to you that you may reach them, yet it has stepped back. And it is not illusion that they hear you speak of, nor illusion that you bring their eyes to look on and their minds to grasp. Nor can the truth which walks ahead of you speak to them through illusions, for the road leads past illusions now, while on the way you call to them that they may follow you. We're going to look together, if you want to share with me just for a moment, the place that you've reached in space and time based on this lesson that you intend to step back for just a moment. All right? Okay, can you see that? All right. You're not going to force yourself against your own illusions. Let's see if we can hear this together. As a conceptual mind, you are a parameter of light form association that justifies the constriction of your own conceptual self. Will you look at this with me just for a moment? Your reality is a reflection of what you think you are, that condemns you to a continuing association of the limitations that you're imposing on yourself within that body form. Ministers of God do what? Ministers of God offer widening parameters of self-realization based on a new light that they have found in the apparent chaos. That's what this lesson actually teaches. And as you progress with this mind training, you're going to begin to meet them more and more. The difficulty you have in this idea is your existent association of self-identity necessitates the continuing of the factoring by which the world is describing you. It is impossible that that not be so, because while you are in a transition from the idea of separation, of a dark form of light, you are proceeding in such a slow fashion based on the need to protect yourself within the frame that identifies you, that the idea of a sudden exposure of a minister of God, an idea of a newness of love that you can share with him, will either make you fearful, as this lesson directs you to, or you're apt to deny it in its entirety. Let's try it together. I'm going to represent to you for just a moment in your mind my certainty of who you are. Now, the manner in which that came about need not concern you unless you want it to. Now, if you're going to demand within your own conceptual self how I came to know this through my catechism, through my mind training, through my dedication that I couldn't solve the problems of this world, through my realization in the resurrection of my Savior Jesus, there is an alternative, you may do so. I might suggest to you that this teaching is an indication that you are already responsible for all the concepts you're going to hold about yourself. And that most certainly includes the concepts that you have about me. You'll notice in the lesson that we're reading today that if you remain in a self-identity of limitation, of fear imposed on yourself, you cannot not believe that the aggregation of thought forms outside of you are not sharing that with you. The realization that my Savior Jesus, the author of this course, offers to us is the certainty that the entire light body, the entire moment of the aggregated conversion of the thought form of our fear thoughts, is present with us now. This is the same idea that if we choose at this moment, we can see through the illusions that previously represented us. Would you like to practice that for a moment with me? I am a projection of your mind in which you are insisting on holding separate from your self-identity because you believe in the literal sense you are that body composed of all the flesh, all of the veins, the heart, the lungs, the carbon, the molecular idea of an aging process within this illusion that justifies your separation. Yet it's impossible that you are not looking for the alternative that I am offering you, very simply because it's the only real alternative there is. Your choice to continue to occupy yourself within that body and suffer the consequences of the protection of your association of yourself until you will annihilate yourself simply aren't making any sense to you, and that's why you're able to hear this. Because what I am offering you is obviously not contained within your own conceptual agitation of identity based on the necessity to place your passion in the protection of who you thought you were. Just for a moment, that may be fearful to you. But suddenly all around you in the emergence of the newness of the species, in the certainty that the transition that you experienced as a human from the idea of time to the certainty of eternity that is all around you is the natural, inevitable evidence of what will and did occur in the realization of the falsity of this world. So we're sharing together that moment when suddenly you appear in a whole new continuum of time. Your efforts to describe that to a slow continuum will be futile, very simply because there's no manner in which they can understand that you have evolved in yourself a new certainty that demonstrates to you the certainty of the eternal love of God. Yet it is inevitable in the power of your mind through this realization that you will not carry it to the world. And the practice of carrying it to the world, becoming a minister of the demonstration of the love that we momentarily share with each other, will lead you to a continuing certainty that any conclusion you held within time about our relationship is actually always over and gone. The time that you have spent with me now in the factoring of the reassociation of yourself in the idea that you could begin the practice of the change of your mind is giving you a brand new direction at this time, I hope. You ask for a new direction. You ask God for another alternative to the process by which you had previously identified yourself. You confess somewhere to the eternal Creator your inability to deal with the concepts of your own mind. In the genuineness of your prayer was the entirety of the solution, with absolutely no regard to the problem or the conflict from which you were suffering. It's a simple admission within your own conceptual mind that your self-will cannot solve the problem. So, your dependency on the power of God is beginning to emerge. Now, when you attempt to identify that with the conceptual form, it is impossible that they will recognize you. They may recognize the words, okay, I am dependent on God, but the idea of a totality of a dependence on God cannot not be an experience of that certainty. You want to hear this with me, conceptual minds? You're going to be writing about all these teachers of God that are being born again and making these discoveries within their own mind. And all of the conceptual identities that attempt to describe an occurrence of reality will be futile attempts to justify within the own limitations imposed by space-time on the moment of the realization of your own wholeness. What a joyous experience that was. Could you feel at that moment the offering of the momentary expansion of the parameter of your own mind? This is the time and place where you have chosen that to occur. Somewhere within time, you've been set onto a new alternative, and you're always coming to that place in time and space where the decision must be made. Listen to this continuation of 155 for just a moment. All roads will lead to this one in the end, for sacrifice and deprivation are paths that lead nowhere, choices for defeat and aims that will remain impossible. All this steps back as truth comes forth in you to lead your brothers from the ways of death and set them on the way to happiness. Their suffering is but illusion, yet they need a guide to lead them out of it, for they mistake illusions for the truth. Such is salvation's call, and nothing more. It asks that you accept the truth and let it go before you, lighting up the path of ransom from illusion. It is not a ransom with a price. There is no cost but only gain. Illusions can but seem to hold in chains the Holy Son of God. It is but from illusions he is saved. As they step back, he finds himself again. I want you to listen to that just for a moment, because it's a really fine description of your idea about what represents atonement. Jesus, in this lesson, uses the idea of ransom, that somehow you're going to have to pay something, okay? That somehow the world is demanding that you ransom something that you value in order for you to find the peace that's available to you. You listen to me. That's nonsense, okay? The Father of all creation sees you as whole and perfect as you are. The idea that you would have to sacrifice something in order to justify your return to heaven is pure nonsense. If we take it for a moment out of the religious vernacular, it's the simple admission that you believe that exchange is possible. It's the idea within your conceptual form based on lack, based on an existence, based on the idea that something is missing within you, that you can find the solution that would represent your happiness based on accumulation, or the idea that if you present uncertainty to a true alternative, the accumulation of your own mind, that the solution will be evident to you. And it's exactly the opposite of that. The teaching of this message asks you first to lay down the defenses of yourself, then to assume the role of your discovery of the power of your mind through your defenselessness. The only way you can know that your power is in defenselessness is by giving away all of the thoughts you have about yourself. And in that moment of giving, at that time that you approach the certainty of the realization of who you really are, in that instant, we call this innocence, in that instant of the vacation of your conceptual self, through the release of your defenses, you will discover to your happy surprise that the gates of heaven are open to you. So you come to this point in your mind where you still be maintaining some ideas that there's something for you to lose when you come to this spot. And if you do, you listen to me in this transition moment, that cannot not be described as fear. It would appear that my message to you as a conceptual identity is that you're going to lose something. Or actually, I'm assuring you that through that apparent loss, you will gain everything. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to have to leave you now in the idea of that at this moment in space-time, you can see your whole self. We'll be back to complete this. Many of you are seeing this on television in the first 30 minutes of this lesson. We hope you'll stay with us because the peace of God is going with you wherever you go, and you've discovered the serenity within your own mind. We'll be back in just a minute. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. Welcome. We're back with you now, offering you from our Course in Miracles a procedure of the change of your mind about who you are, the practice of stepping back for a moment and letting the real you emerge in the loss of your fear of who you were. This is A Course in Miracles, that each moment offers you the entirety of the certainty that all of space and all of time is actually going on right here and now. But it was very fearful to you because in a particular sense, if you don't organize within your own conceptual self the idea of sequential time, you would suddenly be at the moment where all of space and time occurred. And that's what this lesson is describing to you. It's an idea that you are approaching a point within your own continuum of conceptual self where you are beginning to realize that there's an alternative in your relationship with yourself in a demonstration of a moment of a complete change in your conceptual mind that you were heretofore fearful of. The reason that you were fearful of it, because at that moment, it will, in a literal sense, be a loss of the sequentiality of your identity of yourself, which you previously used to demonstrate your body form. I'm looking at your existent body form for a moment. If you're watching this video, there are very great odds that you actually believe that you're a human being occupying this space and time in your need to demonstrate your existent idea of death. If you've progressed sufficiently in the mind training, you may have discovered through death episodes, which are nothing but moments of realization of the entirety of space-time, that indeed you continue to be present within some continuum of time. I'm showing you and offering you through my own light mind, through my own illumination, the certainty as represented by your mind that we can share a moment in space-time that we previously assiduously avoided because we had to represent to each other the fear of that moment that is present with us. Now, in this practice, you're beginning to discover it. And perhaps to your amazement, you don't seem to be able to share it with the world. It seems as though other human identities have no recollection or admission of what you're actually trying to express. Don't be concerned about that. Okay, this teaching has nothing whatsoever to do with the world at all. There is no world. This teaching has only to do with your recognition that that is true. And it's impossible if you are watching this message from me, from our Savior Jesus, from the certainty of eternal life that is waiting for you at this moment, that you did not accept it, and in fact, at this time and place, did not depart this world. Now, if you're going to go out into the world after representing this new evolved certainty of yourself, which is literally a shortening of time, what we're going to read you now in this lesson is a recommendation how you can practice within yourself that new discovery of light that has now become a part of you. Listen. So this is a point of your discovery, isn't it? Walk safely now, yet carefully, because this path is new to you. And you may find that you are tempted still to walk ahead of truth and let illusions be your guide. Your holy brothers have been given you to follow in your footsteps as you walk with certainty of purpose to the truth. It goes before you now that they may see something with which they can identify, something they understand to lead the way. And that's going to be your enlightened mind, isn't it? Yet at the journey's ending, there will be no gap, no distance between truth and you. And all illusions walking in the way you traveled will be gone from you as well, with nothing left to keep the truth apart from God's completion, holy as himself. Step back in faith and let truth lead the way. You know not where you go, but one who knows goes with you. Let him lead you with the rest. When dreams are over, time has closed the door on all the things that pass, and miracles are purposeless. The Holy Son of God will make no journeys. There will be no wish to be illusion rather than the truth. And we step forth toward this as we progress along the way, the truth points out to us. This is our final journey, which we make for everyone. We must not lose our way. For as truth goes before us, so it goes before our brothers who follow us. We walk to God. Pause and reflect on this. Could any way be holier or more deserving of your effort, of your love, and of your full intent? What way could give you more than everything, or offer less and still content the Holy Son of God? We walk to God. The truth that walks before us now is one with Him and leads us to where He has always been. What way but this could be a path that you would choose instead? Your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God. Look not to ways that seem to lead you elsewhere. Dreams are not a worthy guide for you who are God's son. Forget not He has placed His hand in yours and given you your brothers in His trust that you are worthy of His trust in you. He cannot be deceived. His trust has made your pathway certain and your goal secure. You will not fail your brothers nor yourself. And now He asks but that you think of Him a while each day, that He may speak to you and tell you of His love, reminding you how great His trust, how limitless His love. In your name and His own, which are the same, we practice gladly with this thought today. I will step back and let Him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to Him. We're going to talk together, if it's all right with you, just for a moment about the core teaching. My offering to you as what you term an advanced teacher cannot be more or less than the expression of what I have come to know about myself. Just as you will express from your own self-identity the certainty of you, who you believe you are, I must express to you the certainty of the evolvement with an alternative that I have discovered within my own mind. Now, my certainty of who I am in my realization through the practice of the acceptance of the resurrected mind of my Savior Jesus, who said to me, we came from heaven together and we're going home together, who said to me, I will represent to you the truth of you until you can come to know who we are together, who said to me, all power is given unto you in heaven and earth, who said to me, I expect you to go forth and heal the sick and raise the dead. I expect you to accept in the certainty that I have evolved through His message that I needed to be born again in the realization that the self that I represented was denying my own Christhood. So that place in time is the time and place that we are coming to together. And in that realization of who we are in the entirety of our momentary recognition of the love that we share with God's mind and with everything that is, okay, we can, as the term would imply, part the veil. Now, the idea that space and time, the contingencies of form that represent mass or energy, the idea of the light forms of the restriction of your own mind impose on you a necessity to define yourself in space-time, yet it's impossible that each moment there is not a continuing expansion of the universe in everything within your conceptual self. All you have really learned from this lesson is to momentarily release the defenses that you have employed to hold on to yourself in space and time. Okay? as this gravity has pushed in on you, you have attempted to resist it and have formulated dark defenses in your own mind that give you particulars of this little space and time that you think you occupy. Did you ever actually look at your soul, your sun, your little solar system in relationship with the billions of stars that are in the galaxy Milky Way, never mind the billions of galaxies? Would you care to entertain within your conceptual mind an idea of the littleness by which you practice that self-identity? Would you care to admit to me that somewhere there's got to be another solution than the one that's contained in this little space and time? That's the point that I wanted you to come to, and that's the one that you're afraid of. Why? You lose yourself. The offering that I am giving you is the entirety of all of universal mind. It will be the loss of your self-identity. It cannot not be. The question is not that. If I'm offering you a complete alternative to this little place of space and death, would you not rather consider it within the entirety of the offering rather than continuing to defend the littleness that you represent? That's rhetorical, but somewhere within your conceptual mind, you must begin to realize that there has to be something else. There has to be a better way. Now, the description of that occurrence, it's actually a physical, mental, emotional occurrence within your body form, is beautifully described in the text of this Course in Miracles. This is nothing but an admission of the necessity for an illumination of the conceptual species of man, the necessity for a transition from time to eternity. And it's described as a necessity for you to stand just for a moment while all of the fear of what you previously defended yourself against collapses in on you. And in that instant, you will realize the wholeness of yourself. Listen just a little bit to a description of that occurrence from the text of this Course in Miracles.
The roads this world can offer seem to be quite large in number, but the time must come when everyone begins to see how like they are to one another. Men have died on seeing this because they saw no way except the pathways offered by the world, and learning they led nowhere lost their hope. And yet this was the time when they could have learned their greatest lesson. All must reach this point and go beyond it. And now you're at that point. And now you stand in terror before what you swore never to look upon. Your eyes look down, remembering your promise to your friends, the loveliness of sin, the delicate appeal of guilt, the holy waxen image of death, and the fear of vengeance of the ego you swore in blood not to desert, all rise and bid you not to raise your eyes. For you realize that if you look on this, and let the veil be lifted, they will be gone forever. All of your friends, your protectors, and your home will vanish. Nothing that you remember now will you remember. It seems to you that the world will utterly abandon you if you but raise your eyes. Yet all that will occur is you will leave the world forever. This is the reestablishment of your will. Look on it open-eyed, and you will never more believe that you are at the mercy of things beyond you, forces you cannot control, and thoughts that come to you against your will. It is your will to look on this. No mad desire, no trivial impulse to forget again, no stab of fear, nor the cold sweat of seeming death can stand against your will. For what attracts you from beyond the veil is also deep within you, unseparated from it, and completely one. This is the door to eternal life. This is the spot. Seek for it and find it. But before you try to open it, remind yourself no one can fail who seeks to reach the truth. And it is this request that you make today. Put out your hand and see how easily the door swings open with your one intent to go beyond it. Angels light the way so that all darkness vanishes and you are standing in the light so bright and clear that you can understand all things you see. A tiny moment of surprise, perhaps, will make you pause before you realize the world you see before you in the light reflects the truth you knew and did not quite forget in wandering away in dreams. The description of the occurrence of what for many of us was a moment of devastation is actually where we have hopefully led you, without the necessity for you to have any more loneliness and loss and pain than is necessary for you to express the entirety of the futility of the manner of your objective association of self-identity. It is impossible that if you represent yourself as a human being, as that existent association, that the occurrence, are you listening? That the occurrence of what we are sharing together in this lesson, the manner in which you can best address the idea of the intense fear you have of everything around you, and that through the practice of a continuing conversion, you can approach it a little bit at a time, all right? Because you have to remember, the point that we are offering you in the conversion of your own mind is in a literal sense the beginning and the end of time. Look at that with me just for a moment. Now, to your idea of conceptual identity, the one that is operating on the idea of that body, the idea that you can get old, that you can suffer loneliness and pain, and finally be annihilated, okay, are why you are protecting yourself from this moment, even though you know perfectly well that it's inevitable within your own conceptual mind. I want to show you through the mind of our Savior, Jesus, okay, that the attention of the new you can be drawn to the simple message that if you believe me, you will never die. This is the entire teachings of Jesus. I am resurrected and I'm showing you at this moment the certainty that there is no death. And these are lessons that are going to appear in this course, aren't they? Lesson 163 that's going to say to you, there is no death. Lesson 167, I believe, is going to say to you, there is one life, and that we share with God. And this is the time and place that you have to come to where you will be able to see that that is true. Now, the progress that you've made just in this last hour in the idea of being willing to say, wait a minute, I have nothing to fear. Wait just a minute. I feel this fear crowding in on me now. I've been practicing the idea of an alternative, and I'm feeling so much joy. I'm out in the world. I'm beginning to represent my new certainty. Bam! What happened? You began to continue to identify yourself within your own conceptual association. You began to attempt to demonstrate within your own limitation the power that you began to experience coming from the totality of the source of your reality based on that moment in space-time where you declared your apparent willful independence from the entirety of universal mind. Now, the moment that you did that, you cannot not get the result of your determination to express your previous associations in the longevity of time that it's demonstrated your body form. I'm very certain that as you look at me now, most of you believe that I'm actually a human conceptual association occupying this body
and offering to your human conceptual association of an alternative. That's not true. I am offering you my certainty of the unreality in its entirety of the idea that you could be separate from what everything is. I am offering you a certainty that will and did occur to you in the illumination of your conceptual form that would laugh at the idea that you would remain in loneliness and pain and death in the little nothingness of this continuum that previously identified you. The joy that you will experience, okay, in this conversion of mind, okay, can perhaps not be expressed to the world. What I want to offer to you with my mind, to your mind right now, is the certainty that we share a single mind. Will you look with me? Huh? Would you be tempted to practice the idea of looking through? There's a procedure that's contained within the workbook in one of the early lessons where you are advised and encouraged to look at a conceptual association of the projection of your own mind and attempt for a moment not to see him as you have identified him. Do you see that? Because if you identify him as you see him, you will not realize that he is actually a projection of your own mind and that you are in fact seeing him exactly as your mind designed him to see. Can you see this with me? It's the idea that at any moment the projections of your own mind are identifying a decision that you have made, not only in time, but in space. It is impossible that the conceptual mind is not performing the entirety of acts of thought patterns contained within his own mind. Where you hear that, I have no concern. I can assure you that as long as you continue to defend yourself from your own thoughts, it's impossible that you will not receive the effects of that in the illusion that you can sustain yourself in sequential time. And I'm obviously within your own conceptual association telling you it's impossible. And very obviously, in most cases, you're going to attack me and declare to me that what I'm offering you is impossible. And of course, it is impossible, because how you have constituted yourself has made it literally impossible for you to see the alternative that would be very obvious to anyone that would care to look at it. Can you see that? The entire teaching is there's a single mind that we share with God. Now, how this got onto television, I have no idea. Okay, the determination of the factoring of the world not to allow this simple message of resurrection that comes from the historic Savior Jesus to come into the world is necessitated by your refusal to identify the idea that to love your enemy or to forgive your enemy is necessary in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. What you forgot, as he teaches, and I tell you, that the enemy is only yourself. All you're going to meet in that last moment, remember we just read this from the text, in the idea that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, will be all of your old false associations of fear that are asking you not to do that. Everyone within your conceptual association, you listen to me, I promise you this is true, is saying, whatever you do, don't look at that portal. Whatever you do, don't look at the idea that light is all around you, because if you do, it will blind you. And the truth of the matter is, fear of the light is why you're here. The miracles that are being demonstrated around the world now by new lights that are coming in, by healing practices, by spontaneous remissions, by conversions through faith and prayer that are being demonstrated by the Christians, followers of Jesus around the world, can be more and more evident to you as you realize that the salvation of the world depends on you changing your mind. You will then take your place in the conversion idea of moving from time to eternal life. Whatever that ordeal is, as Jesus says in the New Testament, when a mother gives birth to a new baby, she suffers from the ordeal. But how great will the joy be as that ordeal completes itself and you realize that you are emerging from this idea of slow time to the realization of your own whole mind. Thank you for allowing me to present my uncompromising certainty of who you are. You, right there, no matter how you have identified yourself in your conceptual association, are whole and perfect as you were created by God. We are sharing that certainty in this moment of love that I'm expressing to you in my certainty that we come from that source and that our love for each other is eternal. Indeed, God goes with us wherever we go because God is the mind with which we are thinking at this moment. And in that love right now that we share, we can be certain that our time in this sojourn into death and pain is over and will be over now as we recognize each other in the truth of what we are. God bless us. Everyone.